Hey, welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where today we're going to hear from our MSA director, Brother Paulo Repetto. Brother Paulo is going to be speaking on when the building blocks fall. But before we get into that, I want to let you know that the November 17th spring application deadline is quickly approaching. So maybe you or a young person in your youth group or your church is interested, send them over to www.gotoibc.com/admissions. That's going to have all the information that they need, forms to be filled, signatures to be gotten, the process with which you can obtain admission at Indiana Bible College. We'd love to have them sitting in a chapel service next year, a chapel service like this one. Brother Paulo Repetto, when the building blocks fall.
Give God some glory. Give some God some praise. He's been so good to us. He's just been amazing time and time again. Regardless of what our situation, he's been great. Regardless of how hard things are, he's just been great. And so we can just keep taking time because we got to wait on the Lord. We got to wait on what he wants to do. We got to wait on his will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a mighty God. You're a mighty God. Well, it's always a privilege and an honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit. Thank you, student body, Georgian, Charlie, Becca. It's just an amazing opportunity to be here today. When I think, you know, over my life, where I could have been, what could have happened, I'm just so thankful that I'm here today. I give thanks to Brother Galleon, Pastor Mooney for his vision, each and every instructor here. We all go through this. We say we give our thanks, but it truly, we do thank them because they're pouring into us so much. They're just pouring so much into us, and we cannot take that lightly. But today, I know I have a word from the Lord, and I would like to read from John 3:5. We all know that passage of scripture. All right. And the word of the Lord says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then we're going to go to Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then Hebrews 12:14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And we can just bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this awesome opportunity to come together into your house, Lord. I pray that you may anoint this man, and I pray that you may move in this place, in this midst, and that you may touch our hearts and our minds in a mighty way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. So if I were to put a title to this message, it's When the Building Blocks Fall. When the Building Blocks Fall. Thank you, Michael, for a great slide. Very talented man. And so, before IBC, I went to this high school. Everyone goes to high school. But I went to an interesting high school. I had to apply to get to my high school, and I got into the Academy of Engineering. And I was really interested in all that. But my junior year, I took a class. And it was a civil engineering class, and I was super intrigued. I knew I wanted to do some building, something to do. My dream job was to create roller coasters. I just, so interesting. It was just what I wanted to do. And then engineering, civil engineering, deals with the building of things. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the importance of buildings. We are in a current building. We all live in buildings. We all have our homes. We all have our businesses. We all have our workplaces, and those are all buildings. And it's kind of interesting. You know, nowadays we have steel, we have wood, we have sheetrock, all these different things. But back in the day, they would use blocks. They would use cement blocks, bricks, and they would just layer on top of layer, and then you have your walls, and then you have your roof. And what is interesting about this is that before you build the walls, before you put the walls, you have to have a foundation. And the foundation, the foundation has to be just right. Because if it's not leveled, then the walls begin to crack. Then things begin to shape and morph, and it's just not what you want to have. So the foundation matters. And with skyscrapers, for instance, the higher you go, the deeper you have to go down. And so the foundation matters as to buildings, structures. And over time, things happen. Rain begins to fall, deteriorate the walls. And it just, life happens, wind, all these different things, elements of weather happen. And so with all that said, we all have to understand that we have building blocks in our own lives as Christian beings. We all have to have a foundation in which we live upon. So to have a foundation, not only do we have to have just a good foundation, but we have to have a solid foundation. Like I was saying, the higher the building goes, the deeper the foundation has to be. Before we can believe on the sayings of the Word of God, before we can believe in the doctrines, we must understand the authority on which we believe upon. If we don't believe that the Word of God has an authority over our lives, then it is pointless to just go out into this world and just say, hey, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. We have to understand the true authority of God's Word. And I'm going to go somewhere with this. Just y'all just follow with me, all right? And so we see that the Word of God is a book. And some people may see it that way, but we have to understand that it's just more than just a book of just sayings. It's more than just wise things, but it's God's literal word. We have to understand that the Bible is not just a book of good moral sayings, but it's God's word. It's God's word. We have to build our lives upon a solid foundation, upon the rock, because in the Bible, there's biblical truths. There are biblical truths that we live and have our lives based upon. And we have to understand that we have to trust in this. That we can't just go on and say, you have to be born again of water and spirit, and not truly comprehend the importance of that scripture. That you can't just go and say and quote Acts 2:38 and not believe in it. We can't just do that. And then say that holiness, without no man can see the Lord. We can't just say these things and not mean and know the true meaning behind all this. We have to understand that we have to have an authority in which we can build those blocks in our lives. So we continue on and we see that it's just not enough to just know, because this world, we live in a crazy world. We live in a world that questions everything, that questions our beliefs, that questions who we are as individuals in Christ. It questions all of that. This world is trying to destroy what truth. Charlie, what you did, incredible job. Give a hand clap for Charlie. He did an incredible job last night. And this is something that I want to hit upon, is truth. What is truth? You know, this world is trying to destroy the truth of the Word of God, the absolute in the Word of God, the rights and the wrongs. They're trying to destroy the absolutes that the Bible gives us, because we have to have the faith in the Word of God. Because anything can come along and just deter us away from it. We have to have the faith. But faith, we must understand that it's just not a blind leap of faith. That we're just not going and jumping over here and just not knowing that there's a platform over here. But faith is more than just that. We have evidences in which we can believe on God. We have nature. We have all these different things. The Bible talks about natural things, archaeological things. We find archaeologists, there you go. And so we have people digging up and finding these things, and it's coming hand in hand with the Word of God. And so you have the one saying, Brother Kilman says it. I don't know if y'all been in class, and he says it. These people, they have the shovel in one hand and the Bible in the other, because they understand this one thing, that it coincides. We're not just going into an abyss and jumping down, but there is a platform that we can jump upon. And we're not just taking that blind leap. We have to understand that there are evidence in the Word of God. And I'm thankful that God knows all, that He understands that we're beings that think and we're beings that need some understanding. And he does that. He helps us to understand the Word of God and be able to trust in Him. And so we see all these different things. We see that the Bible has the truths. We understand and have to take hold of this. But we continue on and we see that society tells us that everyone is right. We have the postmodern thinking. Everyone is right. You're right over here. You're right. You can believe your own thing. Hey, you're apostolic. You receive the Holy Ghost, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled. Yeah. You can believe your own thing as long as you stay over there. You have to just do your own thing. Just stay there because the person over there, the Muslim, he's right. The Catholic, he's right. And so just do your own thing. And everyone is right. But we know and we have the Word of God, and it tells us that there are rights and wrongs, that there is a way to live life, that it's to live above the sin of this world, that we have to be able to walk right, to talk right, to do what God wants us to do. And so this world has a skewed version of what truth is. They say truth isn't the same for everyone. One religion can say God saved man, but another can say man can save himself. The problem with this idea, with this thought, is that it comes down to meaninglessness. That man is fallen. That we can't save ourselves. That what it comes down to is that you can do it yourself religion. That do it yourself spirituality. And we have to be able to be careful in what we take in and what is out there. We must be aware of all this. We must understand that this is God's literal word, that this is inerrant, that there is no problem with this, that there is no error in this. We're in class and we're learning about this, and God's preserved this word, and he'll cover it and he'll protect it throughout the times. And I know today that I have God's literal word, and I can trust and I can have a solid foundation on which my life can live upon. And so we see we have a solid foundation. We can live upon the Word of God. But now we begin to build blocks. We begin to see, okay, what are the things that we need in our lives, the essentials. And we see that John 3:5 talks about this. Except a man be born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It is impossible to enter into God's kingdom. You must be born again of water and spirit. This is the message that we have, that we have to take hold of this truth, this block in our life. And this is the reason why we baptize in Jesus' name. This is the reason why it's not enough just to sprinkle some water over someone's head, over a baby. It's not enough just to live life normal, but you have to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost because you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then we see in Acts 2:38, we see in that chapter that Peter gives them the sermon, and the people were pricked in their hearts. And Peter, we all can quote it. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. It is important. It is a necessity to be able to understand who God is. Because we, like Pastor Mooney was saying last night, that God manifested in the flesh. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We have to understand that this is a building block in our life. That we have to understand who God is and what He is. He is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He is reigning on the throne. He is God. He is the Almighty King. We have to understand these things. And it continues, and Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. This is the formula. And I love what Alex preached last year in Accent. The formula still works. The formula still works. It's not just enough to say a prayer. It's not just enough to just go out and just, it's okay. I'll pray, Jesus, forgive me and enter into my heart. No, it's not enough because Acts 2:38, it tells me that I have to be baptized in Jesus' name, that I have to receive the Holy Ghost. And this is the thing that changes people. This is the thing that helps us to live right, to walk right, to do what God wants us to do, to do his will. That's the thing that changes people fundamentally in the most inner person. The formula still works, Alex. The formula still works. And it's more than just a prayer. This is where the church began. And this is where the church still needs to be. Right here. That name of Jesus. God manifested in the flesh, died on the cross. He overcame the grave and resurrected. He is the one true living God. We serve a mighty God. And if we can just give him a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then we have Hebrews 12:14. And maybe, I know, as I was a freshman, I did not know about this scripture. I knew holiness mattered. I knew it was a thing that I had to do. And Hebrews 12:14 says it very plainly. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness. Holiness matters. Because without it, we cannot see the Lord. It matters how we live our lives. It matters because the Word of God tells us, be ye holy for I am holy, to be separate from this world. We must understand and we have to pray and every day because we are flesh. We fall and we have the ability to sin every day. And it's just, we have to pray for God to take away the carnality, to take away our own selfish desires. This world needs something radical. This world needs something to change people. I like to tell some people that Christianity is the most radical thing in this world. It'll change you. And in holiness, this is what changes, that separates us from this world. What stands out, his people, being a holy people. Holiness is the absolute greatest attribute of God. His holiness. And so, it is important for who we are to be separated from the things of this world. If God is calling us to be separate, then we must be separate. And we ask separate from what? Because you have to define. You have to define the things. We have to be able to say, separate from what? We have to separate from this world. We have to separate from the sins of this world. We have to separate from all the carnality. The Bible tells us to take up the cross. Take up the cross and follow him. To crucify our flesh. This world, it's tugging at those blocks, and it's wanting to, take away those blocks. And we're going to get there right now. We're going to get there soon. When the building blocks fall, what happens when the building blocks fall? And this world, it's telling us, you know what, it's okay. It's okay to just do what we do. But it's not. It's not. What we need to do is we shouldn't act like this world. We shouldn't be speaking like this world. We shouldn't be talking like this world. You know, maybe you go back to your dorms and you're one person in front of the whole student body, but maybe you go back and you tell those dirty jokes, and maybe you watch some movies, and maybe it's not, you know, you got to fulfill that flesh. You got to fulfill that carnality. But you know what? It's not enough because we have to be separate. You know, we signed something. We signed something here that represents authority. We signed something that separates. That represents holiness. 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 That matters. It matters what we say, what we do, where we go. Because we're representing something that's great, something that is holy, something that's mighty, something that is just amazing. God's holiness, his righteousness, his mercy, his love. That's who we represent as his people. And so it matters what we say, what we do, where we go. It is very important. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But we have to understand this one thing. God will not admit one unrepented and unpardoned sinner into heaven. That's just the reality of life. And this is the message that we have. It was the most important thing is this principle, which made the apostles insist on it, is this, holiness. They worked at it. They wanted to be separate. They lived in a time where there was perversion, there was immorality. They lived in all that. And so amidst all their trials, and when everything around them was a temptation to indulge in their feelings, to indulge in the opposite of holiness, they were to make it their great objective to strive for perfection, to go and fight this good fight of faith. It was their aim. Holiness, which is indispensable to salvation. And we cannot let the enemy deceive us. We cannot allow the enemy to get into our minds. And we may have many desires. You know, we're just all human. And life happens. But we have to understand that we have to strive. We have to press. We have to keep on going. And so we have these blocks. We have these blocks in our lives. And we understand that they matter. It's necessary. It's essential. And if the music can come up, and I'm coming to a close, we have all these blocks in our lives that represent something greater than what we are. So the question is, what happens when the building blocks fall? And if y'all can just stand, what happens when those building blocks fall? What kind of message do we have? What kind of church are we going to be? What's going to happen when we get rid of holiness? Because holiness is the first thing to go. Oh, we don't need holiness. It's okay to wear pants. It's okay to dress like this world. It's okay to do the things of this world because we got to reach them, right? Maybe it's we're going to look 10 years into the future and we're going to say, oh, you know what? We were having such a hard time in our church and we needed finances. We needed to draw a crowd. And so we didn't have to tell people it was essential to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. It wasn't essential to receive the Holy Ghost. And we started drawing a crowd and finances came in. What will happen when the building blocks fall? What kind of message will we have? What kind of message will we have? That said, there are people crying. There are people crying, needing this message. But what happens when the building blocks fall? What happens when the building blocks fall? What kind of message? We have something open. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just come to church. You'll be okay. Just you'll listen to the preacher. He gives you good things to say, good things to live by. What kind of church are we going to be? Are we going to be a church of the living God? To stand up for something. When all around us, everything's crumbling. Things are happening. Lives are dying. And maybe the enemy convinces us. Just like agape or silver. What we love. What happens when we decide to give and take a little? What happens when life throws at us a curveball and those walls are just there and those blocks are shaking? Are they going to stand up? Are they going to be upright? Or are they just going to crumble over? What will we have to offer? What will the church turn into? Will it just turn into a charity work where we just go out and just, I'm not saying none of that is bad, but if we put the emphasis on that, oh, we have to go and just help out people. But I'm here to tell you, the Word of God, it matters. The formula still works. Lives are changed. Many of us can think, not all of us were raised in church. And we gotta think, what did God do in my life? Where would I've been? God changed me. He molded me. And I'm here today. And to say this, that we're going to give that up to offer the people, to offer this world what? Empty hands, empty promises. Pastor Mooney, oh, he did an incredible job last night. The church needs to be more than just a theater. More than just expectations. The church needs to have the Holy Ghost. The thing that changes us, that molds us. And if it's one thing that I want y'all just to think about, is this: when the building blocks fall, you're here at IBC and you're learning, and those blocks are being shaped and put on those walls. And maybe 10 years from now, life happens and winds came and they wiped that all away. But we must consecrate ourselves to this truth. The church is more than just a club, Charlie. The church is more than just a club. There are people dying. And these altars are open to consecrate ourselves, to understand that we don't have a message if we give this up. There are people crying, desperate, needing a change, needing a radical change in their lives. Are we going to take hold of the vision? Are we going to take hold of what God has given us? Or are we just going to give it away? In Jesus' name. Help us to understand, God, that we need you in our lives. We need a touch from you, God. We need your spirit to move over our lives and guide us and direct us. You have given us truth. And are we going to waver on that? Are we just going to allow the enemy to lie to us? Jesus.